welcome to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program. The guests this week, comedy double act, podcast superstars, and handsome boys, Man by Cow! To the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for outstanding contribution to music is Ollie Bettesworth for his theme tune for Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program!
Oh my God! Woo. Guys! That's enough. Thank you so much. I'm Ollie Bettesworth, and welcome to my show, in which I invite one of London's up-and-coming comedy acts round to my flat in lovely, gorgeous Mitcham, and use a combination of delicious, freshly ground coffee, frothy warm milk, and chocolate sprinkles to lull them into enough of a false sense of security to allow me to manipulate them into saying something that will end their careers. This week, I have two guests, Rufus and Howard, who are a comedy double act called Man by Cow. And I have to admit that I didn't really manipulate them into saying anything particularly bad this week. I think it was because it was one of my first, and I wasn't particularly developed, didn't have that kind of predatory eye that I have now. And also, I was outnumbered, and they've known each other since very early childhood, so I didn't really have a chance. However, here is one of Rufus's views.
I hate Chinese people.
That's not even just bigotry, that's straight up racism, Rufus. That really is. But nonetheless, they made terrific, terrific guests, and they are very, very funny guys. I've been a fan of their double act for a very long time, ever since I started comedy, actually. In fact, I did a preview for my first solo hour, misguidedly did that in the first 8 months of my career, and they came and emceed it for me, and they were very, very good then, and they're even better now. And I should mention that their podcast, the Man by Cow podcast, is absolutely hilarious and brilliant, and if you haven't heard it, turn this off right now, listen to every single episode of the Man by Cow podcast, because you will not regret it. It's kind of like a radio sketch show. It's got characters and skits and sound effects and mixture of improvised and scripted material. It's really, really funny. It's been like the best new comedy podcast to emerge in a while, and I think you'd really enjoy it. Now, I have a confession to make. Because there were two of them and they were so funny and interesting, I am actually going to release a sort of second bonus podcast featuring Man by Cow midway through next week, probably Wednesday. And I know I've got these voices in my head, comedians saying, oh, you know, kill your babies, cut it down to an hour, do a nice tight package, so don't be so self-indulgent, you know, but I do think it was just super interesting. I couldn't kill my babies, I couldn't sacrifice one for the other. And, you know, this is all free and you don't have to listen to it. If you're only going to listen to one, you know, I think on average this one's funnier and the one coming out Wednesday is slightly more interesting and contemplative. But, you know, pick on those grounds. But, you know, leave me alone. It's there if you want it, okay? Voices in my head chastising me for... One other thing to mention is that the sound issues are rearing their ugly heads a little bit on this one, I'm afraid. I didn't have my little fancy converted podcast studio back then, so this is recorded in my kitchen, and I only had two mics. So I actually drew the short straw, and you can kind of barely sort of hear me, but that's fine. You won't really miss me because the other guys are so funny and they kind of carry it. And, you know, I only prompt them with a few questions, so I'm not really going to be missed. This is all about Man by Cow, and they are super. So, without further ado, here's episode 4 of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme in which Man by Cow dropped round to chat about moths, youth, Costa Rica and rat euthanasia. Enjoy.
So you have these lists that you've furnished me
Yeah, you set us homework.
I set you homework.
You're like, can you? Do you want to come and do my podcast? You're like, yeah, that sounds all right. We can probably do that. Can you come all the way to Mitcham? It takes an hour. Yeah, all right then, fine. Can you do a couple of days homework for me?
Yeah. Just put it in context. A couple of days homework is a list of three things each.
Six things.
Six things. Three things we love and three things we hate.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
And that when you said it, that sounded easy. Turns out it's not, is it?
No, that's why our lists both difficult. Looked quite similar for a while. We hate Ollie Bettesworth. Yeah. We hate making lists. We hate going to Mitcham.
Yeah, at one point we had Ollie, yeah. And love, lack of Ollie, and lack of Ollie.
He did text me that.
I did.
We're going to start with hate.
Okay.
But just to set the tone, I'm going to give you something that I hate first.
All right.
I hate inequality.
Yeah.
Rufus, your choice.
Well, I hate injustice.
That's not what's written here.
Yeah, it is. Shut up. Yeah. All right. Fine. I hate Chinese people. All right. Now that's. Oh no, you can edit this now, can't you?
Yeah. Just that on a loop.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And a beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was tempting to go for things like that. I did sit around and first of all, I thought I'm going to write things I love and hate. And my initial thought was I don't love or hate anything. I've reached that point in my life where I'm just kind of hollow and I have no feelings about things anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I'm just obviously in a really, really bad place at the moment. I'll wait until tomorrow because I'm pretty sure I remember hating things normally. Yeah. So then the next day comes and I'm really hating some stuff. And I thought, yeah, I do hate stuff. I hate tourists, you know, I really hate tourists. Mm. And then I thought, do I hate tourists or do I just hate the way tourists make me feel? And then I start realising actually what I really hate is myself.
Yes.
And so getting back to the same place again. I hate people. And then I hate humanity. Then I thought I just hate existence in general. I hate the world. And then I thought, we can't be doing that. And then we'll have to just pick things like dogs. Mm. That will be simpler. Because it's a comedy. Is it a comedy podcast or is it a serious podcast?
Although he set the precedent with inequality.
Yeah. Is it like not doing anything too serious and then not picking like topics that anyone's going to come up with?
Everyone's going to think.
I would say that there's literally like, you know, this is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I don't say that lightly because as anyone who knows me know, I once have to punch a rat to death. In fact, thinking about it, I probably should have put that on my hate list. But it's not something I do a lot. So I don't hate doing it regularly. I hate doing it once.
Hated that time.
The memory of doing it.
Yeah.
Why did you have to punch a rat to death? Now I'm intrigued.
Okay. I was in the country. We're in the country doing an international music. It was when I was at college. So it was like a year ago. Because I'm very young.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, they were doing the Don Quixote opera. And in between, we would do we were actors. Can I say that? I was an actor. I went to a drama school anyway.
Right.
And a few of us were, they said, during the summer holiday, there's this thing's happening. Do you want to do that? And it was like, oh, yeah, it sounds like a bit of a laugh. I can do that. Learn some text and everything. So I went down, was hating it. That was awful. Hating the people I was with.
Yeah.
Doing the scenes. No, there's no tourists there. No, there's any tourists.
The only thing that's worse than tourists, drama school people.
Anyway. I don't hate foreigners. I hate tourists. That's different, right?
Yeah.
They can be any nationality.
They can be from the north or something.
Yeah, yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah. Hello, Jos Norris. Carry on with your story.
There would be a scene and then there'd be a big long bit of opera. So I was annoyed and finished a bit, wouldn't be on for half an hour, so I went out. It's in the middle of nowhere, basically. But I went out, but my shoes are really uncomfortable, which is this is where the error takes place. In fact,
okay.
My shoes are really uncomfortable, so I just went out in my tights. Right, I was walking. There was this weird sound, and it sounds like it sounds like a car alarm or something. But this is really horrendous sound kind of coming, and as I got closer to wherever it was. I was like, what the fuck is that? It's horrendous. It sounds like a baby dying or a fox getting its throat slit.
I don't know what it was.
It was a kind of like half, it was like a half dead rat.
Oh.
And I guess that like, because there's loads of like kestrels or, well, flying things.
Yeah.
Flying rat eaters.
I don't know much about the bird life of this area. Yeah, but so maybe it had been like dropped or something, but it was like kind of like bloody and it didn't have a tail or anything. Mm. And I didn't have any shoes. But I was like, I can't. It was like such pain. I thought, I'm not going to help the rat out.
Yeah, by killing it.
Yeah. By punching it.
Yeah.
To death.
And so, I don't have any shoes, so...
You punched it to death.
Well, I kind of took my wig off and, like, started to hit it.
Your wig?
Well, I put my fist in a wig and tried to hit it.
You've got to put this wig back on and go back on stage.
Yeah.
Like, you're covered in rat blood.
Guts. Could you not pick up a rock or a...
But there were no rocks.
Stick. Yeah, but the countryside is full of things to kill rats.
I did go and look for rocks, but there were no rocks because it was grass. Okay. And this is unusual.
it still seems like
the grass into a noose.
Yeah, I can't imagine being in any place, in any situation, where the best thing to kill a rat with is your wig. I honestly can't think of any situation.
I was trying to help the rat out. What I did was like, you know, try and roll it inside the wig because I thought if I can get it in the wig. And like get some leverage,
like use the wig as a bag,
like eating a fish.
Yeah.
Mm. God, you're horrendous.
It wasn't making any noise by the end of it.
Just shut it up.
Yeah. So you put it inside your wig.
Yeah.
And bashed it to death.
Yeah.
On a lack of rock, so you're bashing it against the grass.
It kind of flew out.
but then afterwards.
Yeah.
You put the wig back on.
Well, you have a hair. Net as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A net. Well, that'll protect you from all the rat guts.
There weren't any, surprisingly.
That's a lovely story.
I put forward what I hate, which in this case was inequality. You were going to venture one.
No, I am seriously and cripplingly phobic of moths and butterflies.
Okay.
In a quite extraordinary way.
And that's always been the case?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Certainly as long as I can remember. And like, I physically react when in a room with a moth.
Okay.
And in summer I will keep windows closed no matter how... windows closed or lights off because otherwise moths come and get me.
Right.
In the summer. And they do. If I open a window and have a light on for more than about 4 seconds in summer, then my room is full of moths all coming to get me.
When you say cripplingly phobic, do you mean if there was a moth in the room, you'd be...
hiding in the other corner.
Shaking.
Yeah. And I quite often, like in the past, I've lived alone as well. And so and I also have this... I don't like killing insects. I'm one of those, you know, idiot hippies that won't kill stuff.
Right. I love killing stuff.
Yeah.
Especially rats.
Absolutely. Mm. But I don't... So there have been many occasions where I've spent an hour in a room with a moth, like refusing to kill it, but trying to get it trapped in a glass... whilst not looking at it.
Okay.
Because if I look at it, then I'll freak out and run away like a little girl. That was mean to little girls. But actually, little girls are fine with butterflies and moths.
Yeah.
Much worse than a little girl. if you can imagine such a thing.
You're equally phobic of both. It's not...
Yeah, I am. But the thing about butterflies is they leave you alone.
Okay.
Right, butterflies are over there by a flower, and then they go to sleep at night. Whereas moths come, like if I open the window, moths come and have a moth party in my room. So moths are worse because they chase me around.
And they hide in your cupboards and stuff.
Exactly.
You don't like just like you include. So you're saying that you don't like butterflies as much as you're saying equal, but actually you think moths are worse and like. That's kind of racist.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a moth racist, absolutely. Mm. Like it's like you know.
Because you love cabbage whites. I love them.
No, I hate them.
They're lovely butterflies.
Absolutely horrible. No, people will say like butterflies are pretty, and I couldn't disagree more. Butterflies are colourful, but hideous and from hell.
Okay.
Okay, and you know it's like many people are like phobic of spiders. Right, like that's quite a common thing, or at least scared of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
But I love spiders because they eat butterflies.
Okay.
And moths. I mean, spiders are on my side.
I see.
So I encourage spiders to make, webs in my room and stuff to get rid of the...
So moths don't leave you alone. Maybe you've got a lamp on your face or something.
Maybe I have got a lamp on my face.
Maybe you've got a glowing head.
I'm surprised you didn't tell me this before.
Maybe
now.
You resemble the moon.
Yeah.
Finally travelling home.
Maybe it's having that massive drawing of a moth on the back of your head. Maybe they think it's another moth and they come and get it.
Well, no,
that was a mistake.
That's why it's on the back of my head. Because if it was on the front of my head, I'd be able to see it. And then I'd be scared of the front of my head all the time.
Would you be able to see it?
Yeah, it'd be on the front. It'd be like right in front of me all the time. I'd be terrified.
He's always looking in the mirror.
Maybe if you put them on the inside of your eyelids.
Well,
that sounds awful.
Every
exactly.
time you blinked, you'd scream.
Listen, Rufus does have a tattoo of a...
a Mediterranean hawk moth on the back of his head.
Do you not find the butterflies kind of a redemption story? Isn't that kind of heartwarming? And you know
how?
Well, because they start off as caterpillars.
And I like caterpillars,
and they
except for the
kind of lowly caterpillar just moving along,
and then they turn into something evil.
And they go into
a
cocoon and then emerge. From the chrysalis, all beautiful. And
no, that whole you know, metamorphosis, actually changing species thing, that's fascinating and wonderful and, like, well done, those guys.
And inspiring.
No, it's not. It's an amazing thing about nature, but it's not. It's not. There's no need.
It's like the Susan Boyle story.
It really isn't, because. Like, no, the Susan Boyle story is a reflection of a crappy society that can't possibly believe that someone who's not beautiful could have a talent. But that's not what I mean.
Also, she's not very good, is she?
I don't know.
She's a national treasure.
I'm sure she is. I'm not saying anything bad against her. But, like, caterpillars, I don't see why caterpillars are quite good. They have lots of legs and they walk around. Brilliant, well done. Butterflies are horrible. So it's actually the opposite of what you're saying. It's like someone really unattractive went on Britain's Got Talent or whatever it is, and then couldn't sing. That's what.
I'm not sure.
That's what butterflies.
Also,
are
I'm not sure that they have less legs when they're butterflies, do they? I mean, I know they grow wings and stuff, but they don't like just lose a bunch of legs, do they?
Yeah, because caterpillars have loads of legs and butterflies have six.
How do they? How do you know that?
Because of count, because they're insects. That's how many.
How did you get close enough to count?
Yeah. How do you know a piece of information about a thing?
So what the hell's a caterpillar then? If it's not an insect, it starts off as a not insect and becomes an insect.
Yeah, totally.
Dolly Parton says that love is like a butterfly. Is this why you don't believe in love as well? Is this why you hate butterflies and therefore you hate love?
Well, I've heard someone said that love is like a butterfly. Yeah, so I've been avoiding it because I assume I'm scared of it.
Yeah, it's going to fly at your face.
Yeah, exactly. And like when I turn my lights off, it's going to like get all over my skin and stuff because it's attracted to the heat.
I'm not going to run any of those singles bars in case those women start flying in my face.
Yeah, exactly. In case they love me in the face.
But moths have got quite a wistful story. They're constantly trying to get to the moon.
Yeah, that's, and they crumble as well.
No, they're not. Searching for the moon.
Who said they're searching for the moon?
I did just now.
That's not true.
They're in the constant search for the moon.
No, they're not.
And every light they see, they're like, oh, yes.
They are trying to get to the moon.
They are trying to get to the moon. That's where they're from.
I think moths live on the sun during the daytime, where it's nice and bright, and then when the sun goes down, they come to Earth during the night.
Yeah,
that's where they see all the lights.
During the day, they're all on their way to the sun, and then when the sun goes down they turn back, and that's why you never get moths immediately after the sun goes down, because they've got a bit of a journey.
Absolutely.
And that's why it takes them like the full length of a day to get back.
I believe
that kind of everlasting journey of futility ring any kind of bells?
Do you know what a phobia is? You know, you can't just talk me out of a phobia. It's an irrational fear. Actually, I have this problem with people.
It would be quite a boring chat program, though, if I just went, discussing
phobia. You should just agree with me. I think, that's what I'd like. Just agree with me. Yeah, moths are disgusting. I actually have this problem with people. The word phobia is thrown around, I think, too much.
Yes.
Because phobia is an irrational fear. It doesn't mean you just don't like creepy crawlies. Yeah, yeah. And people who go on, there's been quite a few people go on TV and face their fear and then they're fine.
Yeah.
Right? But it's people who go on, people who go on TV and oh, I'm afraid of snakes. Oh, snakes, I don't like them. But then they see a snake and they're like, oh, it's not what I imagined it to be. That's not a phobia. No. That's you being an idiot. Yeah. Right? And imagining that a snake is some kind of evil, slimy thing, and then you go, oh, no, it's quite normal.
Dry.
That's not a phobia, because snakes don't come in your window when you've got the audacity to open it during summer and have a light on. You're not suddenly got a room full of snakes. So if you're afraid of snakes, get over it. All right. I'm talking to English people here.
Okay.
Obviously, people in other countries are allowed to be afraid.
I think
of snakes.
You should tackle my girlfriend on this issue.
Why?
Because she's got a phobia of snakes.
As I say, I'm not saying that there's no such thing.
She's from around here.
She's from Italy.
No. Do they have a lot of snakes in Italy?
No, anyway, I'm not saying that people aren't allowed to be afraid of snakes, but just if you can face your fear and instantly be over it, that's not a phobia. That's a misconception.
It takes a few weeks of me throwing moths at your face before you get over that fear, I suppose.
Quite a long time, I would imagine.
Back on the difficulty of picking things I hate is that I used to hate things easier when I was younger.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have more conviction when you're younger, don't you? And then you have more. Then when you get older, you have more time to think about stuff.
So here's my list of things I hated when I was younger. My three things. I hated exclamation marks when they're not within speech marks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Darling Buds of May, the TV show.
Okay.
Really hated that.
I'm not familiar with
it. I hated David Jason saying perfect. It made me really angry.
It launched Catherine Zeta-Jones' career.
It did.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yes, not, I didn't mean to imply that was a bad thing. I've got nothing against her.
Catherine Zeta-Jones has only just now started being a passable actress.
That's right.
When are you going to be a passable actress, Ollie Bettesworth?
Practice makes perfect, isn't it? That's the thing.
It is. Yeah.
If you get an opportunity to keep acting, then you become better at it because you understand how it works.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't get that opportunity. Sure. But like, you know, she was pretty, so they allowed her to keep doing it, even though she was terrible, and now she can do it. Yeah. And Jane Horrocks. I used to hate Jane Horrocks.
Jane Horrocks, is that Little Voice?
Yeah.
Why?
I hated her voice and the way that like she played that character on Absolutely Fabulous.
Too squeaky and naive.
Yeah.
And you were jealous that she got to go to RADA and you didn't.
Did she go to RADA?
Yeah.
I went to RADA.
Just another.
Went to RADA and went out of luck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've walked past it as well.
It's not for me.
Yeah. I'm going to go to this rubbish one here. I'm going to go to this rubbish one on an industrial estate. It's there. It's much better. Okay, stop me when you reach one of mine that's actually mine. Coriander. Autocorrect.
Hang on, you hate coriander?
Tube waiters.
The tube doesn't have waiters.
I don't think it means that. I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean that. People that come and like show you a wine list on your journey. Those people that wait at the doors when you're trying to get off. Oh, them. Adverts. I suppose you didn't have adverts on your list.
Well, I thought about it and then I thought that's just going to take forever. Adverts, advertising in
any
general.
Form of
you. Would you not ever do an advert yourself?
What being one?
Yeah.
Oh, like a sofa advert.
For money?
Yeah, I think like if they said, man by cow, do you want to come and be the new face of 118? I'd be like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, but then I'd probably say no.
Yeah, because they are on all the time. They get a lot of money.
Okay.
Yeah, but for that reason...
You do hate advertising.
No,
you would be in advertising.
I wouldn't. No. He'd have to do that.
I guess I wouldn't be then, because I'd need the both of them. I don't like it. I wouldn't want to be in adverts. I think that...
I don't think we're ever going to face that dilemma. I think we're safe.
But if you did, I mean, it's an interesting dilemma because I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think advertising kind of cheapens everything.
I think it's horrible. I don't want to do it. I've never ever wanted to do it. But if someone were offering me so much money to do a thing, I'd be thinking, well, what can I do with that money? Useful things.
Yes, exactly.
So I think all the money you can give to charity if you're
yeah, no, I agree. And people like I've listened to like other comedians on like people like for example, I think Chris Addison, I think I listened to an interview with him talking about why he did adverts and it absolutely he has a point and I have no problem with him doing that and I can see like yeah, absolutely. But then I listen to other comedians saying this is why I wouldn't and I go, yeah, I agree with you guys.
Yeah.
I think I don't know, it's not for me it's not necessarily a massive moral thing. It's more just that I really hate adverts.
Yes.
And I don't watch TV pretty much for that reason. I watch TV shows.
So you wouldn't need to worry about it then. You would never even see your advert.
But it's just like with anything else. It's like if someone said, will you do this? And then I go, but I hate that.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, will you come and do 10 minutes at this show? And I go, well, I hate your show. No.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's purely that. It's not necessarily a big moral thing.
Yeah.
It's not a big, you know, Bill Hicks thing. It's just, I really, whenever I see an advert, I hate it.
So that would suggest though, an amount of money where you could maybe put your hatred aside. If it's not a moral thing.
I mean, it was in the day. I mean, like, not so much these days, but they offer life-changing amounts of money. I know a lot of older actors who've, like, bought houses just for doing one advert.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think that's necessarily
the case anymore, so it's not a problem.
But people do get, you know, you can get £20,000 just for on a holiday just for kicking a football or... drinking a can of Carlsberg or something.
But that would be the thing. Also, it's got to be. I mean, the thing is, it's going to be shown again and again and again. So it's got to be something that's good enough. Do you know what I mean? It's got to be if you are.
Yeah, but that's
why.
Then
it's going to be okay. Here's a funny thing, and they go, "Is it funny? Do I want to see anything that many times?" And the answer is always no. You know, even something I really like. Like for example, what's the best sketch ever? It's League of Gentlemen. Has anybody
orange,
got any bottle of
orange
juice?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
That's the best sketch ever.
Yeah.
But if I had to watch that as often as people watch adverts, I'd hate it.
Yeah.
and that would devalue it, and then it would be a piece of crap. And also, if it was also trying to sell me something, nobody then I'd already be suspicious of it.
But nobody does watch adverts, so they're like, yeah, we all fast forward a bit. So
and that's the thing. I'm not up to date with technology now. You can like play around with TV and
why they have to invade the internet and try and get you in all these other ways. Yeah. Nobody's watching adverts on the TV, are they?
Shall we go on to love?
We have done. We've hated too much.
We're very negative. Yeah.
Let's love some things.
The reason I put the television series Friends, though, is not because I openly admit to loving Friends. It was simply because I was told that I loved it once. Okay. That's it. It's a very, very brief story. This is I was meeting some friends that I'd known at college. I hadn't seen them for like years, like 8 years or something. Well, no, 2 years, because I'm really young and I just finished college 2 years ago.
Yeah, and, 8 months.
Yeah. Went to the toilet. Not that that's important, but I came back from the toilet, and as I came back, one of my friends, Nancy, she just looked at me and she just started laughing, and she was crying with laughter. And I said, "What? Why is it?" She says, "I've just remembered how much you loved Friends."
And that, in and of itself, is
yeah. Well, and the thing is, although he may not realise it, but everyone else who knows
it
does.
And then I thought about it. Maybe I do really know.
Howard loves Friends. He will always watch
so this
it when he's on.
As well.
Oh God, yeah, no, he watched.
I watched two
time.
Episodes last night. I mean, there's nothing realistic about it in any respect. It's just got good jokes in it.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And that's why I keep going back to it. And
I think I've got a theory about that and other things as well, which is that shows and also with books and series of movies and so on that people really love are the ones that create a world in your head, okay, which you can then go back into. Which feels welcoming or comforting, all right?
Yes.
And I think Friends really does that.
Good title for that as well, because during the period, I suppose I probably spent more time with the television show Friends than I have with actual Friends.
Yeah, I'd say in your life, you have spent more time watching Friends than with actual Friends.
You probably heard that song by the Rembrandts more than any other song.
Yeah.
Have you heard the full version?
Yeah.
It's a really long song with like a kind of like
11 minutes
middle section, and it's kind of, what the hell is this?
It's a jazz freak-out section.
But yeah, I think that's something that Friends does. It creates that, and it's a safe world as well. Yeah. So, and I think a lot, like if you think of, I think this is my theory about Harry Potter as well, because I don't really get Harry Potter, right? And I think partly I'm just a bit too old for it. It came out when, you know, I wasn't a kid when it became popular, but people love it, right? And I read the books and I'm like, this is really long. All right, like too long. It really desperately needs an editor.
Yeah.
It's not terribly original, and I don't quite get it. But I think the thing that people really love about it is that the one good thing is that she's very good at creating a world, and it's a very coherent and like a world that you can go into through the movies or the books. And
if slightly contradictory in places.
Oh yeah, but that's the thing. It's more of the emotional thing. When like with Friends, you know, it's not the detail.
Yes.
There's something in the way it looks and the characters and the knowledge and the things that are in your head, and when you enter that world, it's like, ah, here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think shows that people love and books that people love, that's often the case.
It happened with Avatar recently, didn't it? What recently? But I mean,
yeah, people were feeling really upset that they were no longer in that world.
Mm. Yeah, when shows end, the real emotional, like, oh my god, that show is over. And even like any show can do that, like Breaking Bad or something. You know that people are in that world, in a good show, and then when it's over, it's quite traumatic.
Actually, while we're on the subject of sitcoms, you've got a sitcom in your love section as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot that. Yeah. Course.
Arguably the first sitcom.
Oh, Christ. Yeah.
Hancock's Half Hour, and particularly the radio show. Although I do like the TV show, but the radio show, that's a show I can listen to again and again and again. I must have heard it like most episodes at least 3 or 4 times, and some of them
Sid
more.
Sid James, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. So yeah, Tony Hancock, obviously, Sid James, Bill Kerr, Kenneth Williams, Hattie Jakes. Joined it about halfway through or something. Again, wonderfully performed, fantastic, fantastically written, and they also kind of, to talk about influences a bit, they kind of have that that, like, you're not entirely sure where the boundaries between reality and fiction are. They play with that a little bit, in that, like, all the characters use their own names, or the male characters do, actually. Hattie Jakes doesn't. And also, they, quite a lot of the episodes, they are performers. Like, Hancock is a comedian who has a radio show, and this interferes with the plots of the of what's happening to them, and sometimes the other characters are part of that, sometimes they're not. It kind of is a little bit fluid, but sometimes he'll, like, there's one of the more famous episodes is the 13th of the series, which they did twice, But what happens is he refuses to do the show because it's the 13th episode of the series.
Okay.
And he's being superstitious. And the other guys are like, you've got to do the show. We need the money. So they're all kind of part of it. And there's the two levels of reality of the one where they're performers and the one where they're characters, which it bounces between.
It's interesting because when I watched it, I watched a couple of episodes doing research.
Okay.
Interesting thing for me was that you think of things like Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm as being very modern and very meta in the way that they play themselves, and there's reference to what they actually do for a living, and that they're kind of misanthropic, and there's a singular world view, and they kind of go around and get themselves into scrapes, and there's an awful lot about manners and kind of social mores and stuff. Yeah. And actually, when you watch Hancock's Half Hour, there's quite a lot of that stuff in there.
You know, because it's, as you say, it's like seen as the beginning of the modern sitcom, so they're not entirely sure what it is yet, and you can see this when you listen to it, that they like change their minds and they're not always consistent from one episode to the next.
Yeah.
And it's only in the later series that it starts to become really consistent, and then it's on the TV and it's very very consistent, but in the early series it's all over the place, and it's fascinating to listen to. It's always funny.
Okay.
And there's probably only one episode that's, you know, got really dodgy politics in it. Yeah, but then most of it you can listen to and you don't go, oh, that's a bit close to the bone.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for the male suffragettes, don't listen to that one.
Okay, let's go back to hate.
Well, in the early doors when I decided that I hated people, and I was trying to go, I can't just pick people, I was trying to define maybe what kind of people, and then I got tourists, and then there was like loud people, and young people, I already hated young people.
How young are we talking?
Four, five, or...
I hate them in a different way. I mean, I hate kids because they like make noise and cry and stuff like that, but they're kind of all right because they haven't been corrupted yet, or they haven't...
Yeah.
This is how I got onto I hate being old, ugly and short, because it's all connected with youth, because they're always kind of like really pretty and incredibly tall and young, and they're everything that I'm not, and I hate them for it.
Right.
Fucking hate them. Because like we were discussing Vine whilst the recording instrumentation was off.
Yeah.
And you mentioned like some pretty boy on that, and it's like a lot of people, you know, a lot of society now is all famous because not for any reason other than like not that it's about fame, but because of how pretty they are.
It's weird how get older, you start to realise that all young people are pretty.
Yeah.
Like not just the pretty ones, but all of them. Mm-hmm. And like when you're young, you don't realise that youth itself actually has a certain beauty, because you can't see it. What you see when you're young is like the good-looking people and the ugly people. Mm. Of your own age.
Other young people don't give a shit about youth because they're also young. And they're treating you as though you're ugly.
Yeah,
so,
and that's the
opinion that you care about.
Yeah.
Whereas young, kind of older people coming up to you when you're a kid and going, oh,
you're so beautiful. That's that's weird.
Yeah, like,
and that's why I very rarely do it.
Why can't I get any girls?
Yeah. So the point is, if you're young and not incredibly pretty, you should be sleeping with old people because they'll definitely say yes.
Ah, yeah. That's what
because your youth has its own beauty. All right?
Top tip.
And you can contact us at manbycow.com.
We love young people.
Yeah.
I need to hate fuck you. Yeah, and then like, hate you, you young bastard.
But trying to steal their youth by having sex with them, right?
It was impossible to avoid being bitter when I was writing my hate list. Because I'm full of bitterness, and a lot of that bitterness is definitely projected towards young people, because they've got all that time ahead of them that I've wasted. That I've like wasted a lot of time, and one of the problems I find as well, this is very important to me as a person, is that I believed that I was attractive for quite a long time, and then when you kind of like come to the realization that actually not all that, it's like, oh shit, because whilst you're busy. Because pretty people don't need to learn anything, do they?
This is the point. Yeah, they do. Because prettiness fades.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but they can become models and like and things and like
get earn their fortune.
Earn their fortune and then like then grow old and ugly.
So what you're saying is you should have become a model and saved lots of money instead of wasting your time while your prettiness faded.
I couldn't have been a model because I wasn't pretty. So the problem was is I thought I was pretty, so I didn't bother learning anything. Because then the day I figured out that I wasn't beautiful, it was too late and
what
I was an idiot.
What
I was just an old ugly I don't know. I think I was dating a girl. A real one. And she was just,
I don't remember this happening.
I think she pointed out that she was just, you know, she was quite forward about how people looked, and she said that she thought this guy was attractive, and was like, I didn't think this guy was attractive. It was weird looking, and she said he was more attractive than me, and I was like, what? How was he more attractive than me? And then I realised, yeah, he was actually.
Right.
Yeah. And
it's just one person's opinion, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's two people's opinions because she was right.
I don't think you can trust your own opinion, though.
No, your opinion doesn't count on this scale.
Of course,
it does. And also, I can guarantee that if you put this out, there are women listening right now going, "Oh no, Howard, you're so pretty," and tweeting us about it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They won't do the same for me when I say, "Oh, I'm ugly and I always have been." They'll be tweeting and going, "Yeah, actually, we agree." But Howard's lovely and pretty, and he's got nice hair.
I've got hair.
That is your redeeming feature, yeah.
You can get a wig, and then everyone would tweet. Everyone could tweet you and say,
"I can grow hair. I have got hair. It's just that I've got rubbish hair."
Listen, it's born out of that. I don't particularly want to talk about dating websites or anything, and certainly not to talk about Tinder because people would over talk Tinder. But I did put the Tinder on the phone to once it upgraded to iOS 7. To check out the Tinder, and I'll check it out the Tinder. And that's when you realise how unattractive you are, because I know now that in a 50-mile radius of London, like 100,000 women have all decided I'm not attractive.
So you went onto Tinder and you said everyone was attractive.
No,
because it doesn't tell you unless you say they're attractive.
Yeah, that's how it works. If you say someone's attractive and then they see you and they say you're attractive, then you find out.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is to find out that those people in a 50-mile radius don't think you're attractive, you would have had to say they were all attractive.
Yeah, but
which you didn't do, right?
But they weren't.
So that what I'm saying is they might have all said you were attractive, but you wouldn't know because you said they were unattractive.
Yes, I know, but their opinion doesn't matter, does it?
Ugly people.
Exactly what you just said.
Ugly people.
So what you're saying is you did go on and you
no,
swipe.
I am as ugly as they're as ugly, you know.
And you don't want to be in their league.
Exactly. I want to be one of the beautiful ones. But it's a horrible device, though, Tinder.
What is my hate choice?
It says here San Jose in Costa Rica.
San Jose in Costa Rica.
That's quite racist, isn't it?
No, I have good reasons for this. I lived in Latin America for like 3.5 years, and I lived in San Jose in Costa Rica for about 7 months. It was not so much that I didn't like them as they didn't like me.
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay.
Well, they kept stealing from me.
Well,
the thing is,
they quite like you.
Yeah, they like my stuff.
Is it your jokes?
Yeah.
Passing them off as their own.
What jokes? I lived in Mexico City first, right? And Mexico City has a bad reputation, right, of being incredibly dangerous. I lived there for about 8 months and never had any problem. They were the friendliest people in the world, who would invite you into their house and make you dinner and not expect anything in return. Really fantastic, nice, sometimes too nice people. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know, sitting down on a bench trying to have a quiet smoke and everyone wants to be your friend.
I feel like you're just trying to balance out the horrific things you're about to say.
The thing is, when I moved to San Jose, which is Costa Rica, when I read the guidebook, before I went to Costa Rica, the guidebook was all positive. The Mexico guidebook is all like, don't go to Mexico City, everyone will kill you, which is not true. The Costa Rica guidebook was much more like, oh, it's a wonderful country where everyone's nice and will force money into your wallet at knife point. You know, and that's very much also not true. Mm. When I got to San Jose, I noticed that in stark contrast to Mexico, everyone was kind of looked quite annoyed. And unfriendly and frowny and unpleasant.
Mm.
And they weren't very friendly. And then I got robbed 3 times in the space of a few months.
Robbed, as in your place was broken into, or robbed?
No, it was very much mostly face-to-face stuff. The first time, I was walking home from work, and this guy started walking next to me and talking to me. Right. And so I was like, I didn't speak much Spanish at the time, so I was struggling, like trying to have a conversation with him in Spanish. And he was telling me about his, I could tell he was giving me a hard luck story, you know. Yeah. And I'm English, so I'm like, yeah, you've done terrible, things were terrible things. Yeah. You know, quite jaded, having London brain going, yeah, whatever, blah, blah. And then he starts talking about this guy who died, and like, yeah, your mate's dead and you need money, blah. I was very poor at the time as well.
Yeah.
And then I started realising, now he's not saying that the guy's dead, he's saying that he killed the guy. All right, so, okay, he's saying he killed the guy, but then still, my English brain is still not quite connecting with what's going on. Mm. And I'm like, oh, he's just one of those guys, like, yeah, I killed a guy, you know. If an English person comes up to you and starts saying, I killed a guy, you're like, yeah, whatever, leave me alone, you idiot. Right, so I'm kind of going, yeah, you killed a guy, blah, blah. And then he's getting more and more agitated, and like, you know, just getting quite tense. And after about 10 minutes of talking to him, I realised that he was robbing me. oh, I get it.
Oh, you're going to kill me.
Yeah, oh, you're telling me, you're threatening me. Oh, you're not just telling me stories. You're threatening me. And I only realised when he showed me his knife. Quite a big knife that he had in his pocket. And he's like, I'm gonna kill you unless you give me some money. Give me your money, not some money. okay, here's a pound. I was, at the time, I was really poor, and like I was a few days till I got paid, and I had like the equivalent of about £6 in my wallet, and I had it all on me because I was an illegal immigrant and I didn't have a bank account or anything like that.
Right.
And I didn't want to give him all my money because it had to last me a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to talk him into only taking half in Spanish, which I was quite... I negotiated with this guy with his big knife into only taking half. But then when I got my money out, I had it in two notes and like a 10 and a 5 kind of thing.
Right.
And I tried to get him to take the smaller one, but he didn't. He took the larger of the two notes. But he left me with some money.
That's not half, you understand that, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. I talked him into half, but then when he saw the denominations, he wouldn't take half. You see what I mean? He took more than half.
In theory.
Yeah, yeah. He'd agreed to it, but then reality came in and it didn't quite work like that.
Mm.
And then he started hitting his head against a lamppost and going like, I'm sorry, and all this stuff. And I had to, my initial impulse was like, do I have to hug him now? Do I have to, because like, he's really upset about the fact that he's just mugged me, so should I give him a hug? And I kind of caught myself doing this and thought, no, I've got to leave now.
Yeah.
I've got to walk away. And I'm like, look, I'm sorry, I can't, like, okay, you've robbed me for money and you've threatened me with a knife, but now you're getting emotional. Right, I'm English.
Now,
come on, now I'm feeling really bad.
The mugging made sense.
Yeah, totally. I eventually knew where I was with that.
The power dynamic. Yeah.
So I left and I walked away and I left him hitting his head against the lamppost. And then I got home and I told one of my housemates this, and they said, why didn't you just run away?
Yeah.
And I went, oh yeah. That never occurred to me. I could have just... I was on a fairly busy street. And while it was happening, I was in my head, I was questioning whether I should, like, say no to him and what the logical results would be, and would it end up in a fight? And if it did I have any chance of winning? And if I did win, would I be able to explain to the police what had happened?
Yeah.
And in Costa Rica, the police aren't the people you want to be explaining things to anyway. So it was all very much like, it doesn't matter. No, don't get into a fight, whatever you do. Whatever happens, you're either dead or in a police cell. And both those things are bad. But it never occurred to me to run away. So anyway, that was the first time. And the second time someone snatched my bag when I wasn't paying attention enough. So that was kind of my fault. And the third time, I was walking almost at my house. I was walking home again, and there were three people walking towards me. You know, people walking towards you, you kind of move to one side,
mm-hmm.
and they move to the other side, and you go around. And I moved to one side, and then they kind of flanked me.
Right.
And then the next thing I knew, I had a gun pointed at each side of my head.
Oh.
So the two guys, each with a gun, like pointing at my head. And the weird thing was, I never saw the guns, but I felt them.
Right.
Again, like against my head, one on each side, and the third person was a girl, and she said, "Relax," and I went, "Okay," and I don't think I've ever been more relaxed than in that moment when I was like, "Okay, guns to my head, whatever you want,"
yeah.
And I was just like, "Yeah, cool, just, you know, don't shoot me. And they took, they went through my pockets, took my money, took my bag off my back, my rucksack with all my stuff in it, and ran off across the park. And it was over in about 8 seconds. And the overriding feeling, because it was quite quick, the overriding feeling was, oh, God, not again.
Yeah.
Because this is the third time. I was like, not it. Come on, world. That's three times. And it was in the space of about a month, I think. Yeah, it was all really close together.
Maybe everyone knew. I mean, like, hey, that guy's good
for
getting.
Words got around. The conclusion of this is that after I'd been robbed three times, I realised what I'd started doing was when I was walking around, I was, like, you know, looking, deliberately looking quite, like, mean and angry in the hope that it would put people off from robbing me. And I realised that's what everyone else was doing.
Yeah.
When I arrived, I thought everyone's really unfriendly and angry, and they all look like they want to rob me, you know? Actually, that's what I was doing, walking around, like, look, don't attack me because I'm going to rob you back on my face in the hope that it would work. And I'm like, yeah, that's what they're all doing. They're not bad people. They're just scared.
There should be like a closing speech.
Yeah, what have you got to say for yourselves?
Have you learned anything? Have you learned anything about yourself?
At first I thought, you know, well, I don't really hate things. And I don't, you know, because I don't generally hate stuff. And hate is quite a strong word.
Yeah.
And I think English people, we do kind of throw the word around quite a lot. And, you know, people are like, oh, I hate that movie, or I hate that book, or I hate that singer. And it's quite a strong word, you know, to say, like, oh, I hate Britney Spears or something. Like, what does she do to you? Come on.
She shaved her hair, idiot.
Yeah, she got a bit older and had children, bitch. But people have very strong feelings, and particularly about comedians. Like, famous comedians are like people, like, they, it's like they have to love or hate them. Yeah. There's no in between. If you, it's not like, oh, it's not to my taste. It's not like, oh, Michael McIntyre's material is not really something that appeals to me. It's like, I hate him.
Yeah,
you know? And it's a really
emotional
thing.
I find that weird.
And very emotional. And
he's you know, he's doing a good job. He's funny and everything.
Absolutely.
But I'm not a massive fan. But I don't.
Me neither. I don't mind.
I don't mind.
You know, get on with it. It's fine. Fantastic and entertaining lots of people.
Yeah.
Well done. But I think people are normal people, not just comedians, but, you know, people get very emotional about comedy, and there's this weird feeling that they own it, and at the moment once you make comedy, you are giving that to the audience, and it's theirs, and they therefore are allowed to do whatever they want with it, and there's no question of, like, how the person who made it might feel. And there's a lot of stuff about Michael McIntyre feeling quite, like, unhappy because everyone doesn't like him, you know, like other comedians stuff being quite mean.
Yeah,
and apparently he's quite like, oh, but what did I do? I just said some jokes. And you're like, but, and the kind of the feeling that people have is, no, he's got fame, success and money that insulates him from insults. But of course it doesn't actually, it doesn't make any difference. When people go, oh, I hate him, he's rubbish, it still really hurts him, you know, in exactly the same way. But I think this is something that's kind of nerve-wracking about putting something out like the podcast is, so far we haven't had particular bad reactions, have we? People have been really nice. But sooner or later, someone's going
to
hate it.
It's like him. He's like, who's Mr. Flood?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've never heard it.
Never heard it.
Sooner or later, someone's going to turn up and be like, I really hate this. And that's, you know, I'm not looking forward to it.
But I suppose it's funny you should say that, but maybe it's because, as I was saying before, I'm not a stand-up comedian and you're not. We don't do that. So we've got no reason to hate Michael McIntyre, but I fucking hate Double Axe. I only hate them because I don't like them coming on the same night we're on, because I don't want them to be better.
Yeah, they are sometimes better.
Yeah, often. So I hate them. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, you're listening.
Simplistic.
You're listening in cahoots.
Yeah, fuckers.
My hate list was a lot longer than my love list. Yeah. And in the end, choosing three was much easier for the hate list. There was more things that I had things to talk about than the love list. And even the love list, I was thinking of maybe using some hate things and putting not in front of them.
Right.
And say, you know, I love it when there's no butterflies around. That's my love. So that I could...
So you've learned that you're quite a hateful person.
Well, I'm more, more irritated by stuff than I realised. So thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Ollie.
And what have you learned, Howard?
I'm sorry, I'm too old to learn.
So you've learned nothing. It's been a completely fruitless experience.
Yeah. I've learned that you can't cook. I mean, if that can be described as cooking. It's not even cooking. You can't operate an oven. Okay, then let's go with that.
The weird thing is, he checked the pizza like 3 times. I saw him do it, and he still burned them.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for being on my show.
That's all right.
Thank you very much for listening to episode 4 of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme, featuring my excellent, hilarious, and somewhat ungracious at the end there guests, Man by Cow, aka Rufus and Howard. I tried my best with those pizzas and they cost me £3. As I say, if that's not enough Rufus and Howard for you, there will be another episode coming out on Wednesday, a sort of bonus episode with the bits that I didn't quite make it into this one, but I couldn't bear to just not share with anyone. So that's there if you want it. And on Wednesday, I will let you know more about who's on next week as well. As always, here's the little begging bit, completely undignified. If you want to go onto iTunes and give us a rating or a little review, view of the show, if you've enjoyed it, not don't pretend, don't lie, but if you've enjoyed it, please do register that enjoyment, because it would really help us to reach more listeners and grow as a show. Anyway, that's enough of that. I will see you on Wednesday. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
I think, Ollie, the first time we met was on a photo shoot for an Irish phone company. Is that true? Where you had to hold a placard with a speech bubble on it. Would that be true?
No.
Is that not true? I'm sure we met after that time.
Really?
After that time at a gig near Piccadilly Circus. Do we meet at that gig at Piccadilly Circus as well?
I don't know what he's talking about either, Ollie. I hate Chinese people.